Hi, this is Anna, and this is Check It at the Round Table, where we discuss movies, books, music, and stuff. Today we're discussing the final episode of Last Twilight, the Thai BL drama series. So, what was the last episode like? Honestly, I have very mixed feelings about the last episode of Last Twilight. This is one of the few Thai BL drama series that I can say I didn't hate, and I liked most of the series. However, the ending left me with very mixed feelings. Now, let me explain. This is nothing against, first of all, P. Off did a magnificent job. So this is not anything against the brilliant direction of P. Off. And also, this is nothing against the very, very good acting of Jimmy and C. They were brilliant in it. So this is no, like, beating up of the actors or director or anything. But this is a problem with the plot of the story that I think has been somewhat discussed by Venus's Tria on a post. And also I ran across another post here last night. I will try to drop it in the description from another channel. I'm like, they both hit the nail on the frickin' head. I'm going, you know, I can't sit there and go, oh, the ending was fulfilling in Last Twilight, because I'm like, it really wasn't. It really wasn't fulfilling at all. And the reason it wasn't fulfilling is because I think it sets up a bad example of how to handle relationships and how to treat people. Because at the end episode of Last Twilight, we have Mok and Day. Now, Mok and Day have been separated for 3 freaking years. Okay, I would like to put that out first, okay? Mok and Day have been separated for 3 freaking years. From what we are left to believe in the story, I don't know, because it's possible that Mok could have dated someone else in that 3-year period, but I don't think so. He basically feels that he massively screwed up this whole thing with Day. I'm going, in Anna's opinion, Mok did not screw things up with Day. Day screwed things up with Mok. Now, maybe I shouldn't use the word screwed up, but he really did screw things up with Mok, because Mok made the decision not to tell Day that he had a job offer in Hawaii. He told him that he didn't. Day said that he did that out of pity and broke up with Mok. He blocked his contacts, wouldn't talk to him at all, did it. The whole way that Day dealt with that was as an immature ass. I mean, I mean, no offense at all, I'm going, if Day could step outside of his selfishness for one moment, which is very hard for Day, I understand, because if Day has one problem that's massive, it's the fact that he is so self-absorbed, he cannot see the forest through the trees on that deal. But he realized that had nothing to do with Mok pitying Day in any way. What it had to deal with was the fact that Mok was terrified that something could happen to Day by being in Hawaii, or if he was away. And he didn't want to lose someone like he'd lost his parents, like he'd lost Rung. I'm going, this really didn't have to do with pity. This had to do with what Mok knew he could handle, and he couldn't handle that. And I'm going, that's not a pity thing. That's just a obvious awareness thing. So anyway, Mok has been gone for 3 freaking years. Day has apparently also not dated at all either, but he has gotten his degree. He also started a bookshop, and he does, like, inspirational speaking. Poor Jai and Knight decided to get married. And so Mok has come back to get his visa renewed and to go to their wedding. Now, when he comes back, he is at, like, a big hotel of some sort, and he sees Day coming off the escalator. So he comes around and you get to see Piaf in the scene. He has his cameo as the person who's supposed to take Day to the taxi that's waiting for him. But instead, Mock says, I've got this. And then he walks silently with Day through the building to drop him off at the taxi. Day has no idea this is Mock, but he has a weird feeling about it because he's like, this arm feels familiar. I'm going, that's kind of funny, but I'm going, you know, I can see how people would be like that because people have different arms. I'm going, it makes sense that you might be able to recognize someone by their forearm. I don't know. But anyway, he takes him out to the car, and then he makes sure he gets in, and he says, thank you. And he says, it's a pleasure. And Day's going, oh my God, that was Mock. Well, then Mock goes into poor Jai and Knight. They are getting married, and he's like, and poor Jai is going, you know, Mock, Day opened a bookshop. She's like, do you want to know the address? And Day's like, no, I don't have time for that. I'm going to get my visa. We are going to go to your wedding. I don't have time for any of that. But you can see he's looking at the bookshop, the ad for the bookshop, because it's read every day. Well, the next scene, Mock has not so subtly put on a bunch of the old perfume that Day gave him. I don't know if we call it perfume for guys. Maybe it's just fragrance. I don't know. Cologne. That's the word I'm looking for. Cologne. So he puts on a bunch of Day's old cologne that he gave him. And he goes into the bookshop and he doesn't say anything. He just walks around to make it smell. And Day's sitting there. And I do have to say, I'm going, you know, I do get Day in this scene because he's like, you know, if you want the cookbooks, Mock, they're over there, but we don't have a lot. And so they do get to talking just a little bit in the bookshop, but Day just keeps putting up walls. Now, again, I think this is very, very unfair, and it is not addressed in the movie, except, like, we're all supposed to sit there and go, oh, poor Day. I'm like, really? I want to just sit there and give Day a piece of my mind and go, I'm sorry, Mock, but Day is not a nice person. But, you know, Mock liked Day, and I think Mock was happy in the end, so I guess we can say it was a win, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I'm like, Day did not have the emotional growth, in Anna's opinion, that he needed to be a good partner for Mock, because he still thinks that this whole deal is Mock's fault somehow. I'm going, you know, I will say, Mock should have been honest with Day and said he got the job, but he didn't want the job because of X. But I don't think in any way, shape, or form, Mock really pitied Day in the way that Day thought he did. But Day is so darn selfish that he broke up the whole relationship. So anyway, they have the discussion at the bookshop. At the end of the discussion, Mock asks Day if he's dating anyone, and Day kind of hesitates, and Mock goes, that must mean you aren't. And just for your information, I'm not dating anyone either, unless you're wondering, in case you're wondering. And then he leaves. Well, the next day, they have morning at Day's house with Knight and poor Jai and Day. And Day gets up and he's so excited because he's like, it smells wonderful for breakfast. Is Chef so-and-so his mom cooking? And poor Jai's like, no, your mom took Poong Jai to the doctor for her vaccine, so she's not here. And he's like, well, who's cooking? Because Knight and poor Jai don't really cook that well. And Mark comes out and he goes, I did. And he's like, I happened to be in the neighborhood. I wanted to see my niece, poor Jai's daughter. So I thought I would come, and I've made sweet and sour sausages. I've made this. Please feel free to try. And I made Day's favorite chicken masa mang curry. Your rice is in the center of the plate. Your cup is over here. Your solar's over here, Day. Enjoy. And poor Jai's like, what do we owe this service? And if you really wanted to come see your niece, why did you come when she's not here? And Mock is like, I want to kill poor Jai, but her wedding's coming. And so then the next bit, Dai is there and he's like, you know, Dai, I need you to go and get your suit for the wedding. It's all ready at the tailor's. And while you're there, I want you to take the bridesmaid of Poor Jai with you because they're getting their clothes there too. And Dai's like, okay, who's the bridesmaid? I don't remember there being a bridesmaid. And Poor Jai's like, Muck is my bridesmaid. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, it's one of those moments where I went to kind of fall off the couch laughing because I'm going, that just fits. Because Knight and Poor Jai have got into their heads. They're like, they lost Mok once, but we're going to do everything we can while Mok is back on his visa run to try to get them back together. And I'm like, Poor Jai has Mok as a bridesmaid. Makes sense. I think I'm going, why do the bridesmaids always have to be girls? That doesn't make sense to all. I'm going, we should call them bridesmen. I don't know. A bridesperson. Why don't we just call them bridesperson? That makes it much better. I don't know. So anyway, Mok and Dai go to the tailor's to get the suit. While they're there, Dai is trying on his suit and he's having trouble getting it over the shoulders. And Dai, and he's just doing this and Mok is like, here, let me help you. And Dai's like, no, I don't need any help from you. And Mok is going, you know, you don't need to build the walls around, especially with me, Dai. I know things didn't work out, but you know I like helping you, and it's okay. And there's also a cute scene at the table where Dai is like, I really don't know if the bridesmaid will be comfortable going with me to pick up their clothes. You know, maybe we should think of something else. And Mok says, oh, no, I'm perfectly comfortable. Plus, I've been away in a foreign country for a while. If I get lost, it will be good to have someone there with me who I know. And then he kind of taps Dai with his knee. And Dai kicks him back. So they're fighting knees under the table. I'm like, oh, boys, 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 boys. So anyway, then they have the wedding. It's a very nice wedding for Poor Jai and Knight. Dai and Knight's dad comes to the wedding. He gives a short speech. He actually talks with Dai's mom. I literally don't think they've talked since they broke up when Dai was very, very small. So anyway, they talk for a bit. Poor Jai, you find out that Knight met Poor Jai when she was about probably 5 months pregnant, and he was there for birth of Poom Jai. He helped name Poom Jai, but what you didn't know then, and I really wish, like, someone, I think it was Venus History again, but she said, you know, our Venus History 02 channel said, you know, I wish we could have seen more of Knight and Poor Jai's relationship. I'm going, that would have been cool. Because what you find out is that Poor Jai had told Knight she did not want to date him. Because when she found out she was pregnant with Poom Jai, she'd just gone through that terrible relationship with that horrible man who she was supposed to be getting married to and found out he had a gik on the side. A gik is the Thai word for the second girlfriend. So she understandably broke up with him. I think that guy and Mok got into a fight twice. He beat up Mok pretty bad. I'm like, Mok's a small person. I mean, I know Jimmy's tall, but I'm like, he did not fare well in a fight. He's really, really tiny. I'm worried the breeze would blow that guy over. He needs to eat some brownies or something. Protein, something healthy. But I'm just saying, he's really, really skinny, so he gets beat up in fights really bad in the show. But anyway, so when that happened, she decided she was never going to date again. Well, I guess that what you find out at the wedding is that Knight came to her. And Knight, you know, he's an interesting character because he had a big drinking problem when he was young. The drinking problem caused an altercation, which got them into a wreck, which took Dai's vision. And he has a lot of responsibility that he feels. But he was like, you know, I know you don't want to date me right now, but he said, and I know that you don't think you should ever be in a relationship again, but will you give it a second chance? Not for me as the person, but for you to know that you can have a relationship work out. And I thought, That is a very interesting way for Knight to have put it with Porgy. So Porgy did give it a second chance, and she and Knight did end up together, and Knight adopted her daughter as his own. I think that's one of the coolest things in the movie, because there's the one of the last scenes, he's sitting there holding Porgy, and he's like, do you want daddy to eat your vegetables? Because she doesn't like her carrots. So he eats her carrots for her. But I think that's one of the most coolest scenes in the movie, was the wedding scene, because you see how well they have come together as a family. And also even Day's mom, because she comes to Porgy and Knight, because I guess in Thai culture they give a blessing as a parent. And she's like, you know, you are my daughter. I've never had daughters before. I am so lucky to have a daughter. And if my son ever treats you bad, come to me and I will talk to him about it, because you should not have to deal with that on your own. I'm going, you know, culturally, that is so different than what people have in America. I mean, no offense, but we kind of have the cult of believing that all mother-in-laws will hate your guts if you end up married to someone, even if you try your best, and that they will never help with anything. If there's ever an altercation, they will try to make it bigger, not smaller. So I really love that scene of the families coming together. Now, again, we did have a moment with Day where he got up and gave a speech. And again, he's a selfish brat in the speech, because I'm going, he's like, being a blind man is hard. And I know my brother's getting married, but don't forget your little brother. I'm going, you know, Day, I have a big newsflash for you, but it is not all about you. I mean, I know that life is hard as a blind person, but guess what? Life is hard for anyone who's breathing. I mean, there are days when anyone it's hard for. So I think sitting there and going, life is hard because you're blind, I'm going, you know, life is hard because life can be hard sometimes. But that doesn't mean that we have to go and try to, you know, bring that up constantly to everyone around us. So I'm like, that's just really annoying. But at the end of the wedding, Mok and Day have a dance. Mok asks for again another chance with Day. Day says, nope, you're leaving. It's best to just leave things as they were, a good memory. And then you move on with your life, I move on with mine. At the end of the wedding, though, Day is sitting there on the sofa by himself, and Day's mom comes and says, Day, where is Mok? Why, I wanted to talk to him. Has he already left? And he's like, yep, he's left. He's going back to Hawaii. It's over. And Day's mom sits down beside him, and she's like, you know, Day, sometimes... because Day sits there and he goes, you know, I was just so worried that the same thing would happen again and he wouldn't be honest with me and I'd feel like he's pitying me again, and I can't go through that another time, Mom. So that's why I said we couldn't have a second chance. And Day's mom sits down with him and she's like, Day, you know, even if you have the perfect relationship, there is a chance, whether you're blind, whether you're seeing, whether things are going well, whether things are going terrible, that history can repeat itself. But there is also a chance that it will not. And are you really willing to risk the chance of having something really good go away forever? Because you won't take a risk because you're worried about what could be, the what ifs of the situation, when maybe you should be focused on the good that could happen instead of the bad. And so Porgy comes up at that point, and she's in her wedding dress, and she's like, Day, you won't find a baddie like Mok again, probably. Are you sure you want to let him go? And Knight's like, I have the wedding BMW. We can get you to the airport. We'll see about getting Mok. You can tell him how you feel and that you want to renege on what you just said, and we'll see how this works. So Knight and Porgy on their wedding night are taking Day to the airport to try to find Mok. Porgy confiscates the speaker system at the Sivabarni airport. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It's the Bangkok airport. It's not the Dongmon, Sivabarni. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But anyway, So she confiscates the microphone because she tells the lady who's in charge of the microphone, she says, my husband ran off with our wedding money and she's going to escape and I don't want him to. So she borrows the mic and she's like, look, get your butt, you know, get yourself here. She's like, Day is here. You need to come to see him. But what they find out is that Day, Mock checked in and, he apparently was on the flight because no one missed checkout and the flight is already on the runway. So Day and Knight and Porgy go back to the wedding. However, when they get back there, Knight receives something on his phone and he says, you know, I have to go back up to the wedding room. Day, you come with me. And so he goes back up and he takes Day to the scenario and he's like, Day, you wait here. I have to go check something. I will be back, I promise. And so he leaves, and Day's sitting there. He's going, why are we back at the wedding venue? And why is there music playing? Because the wedding is over. And then you hear Mock say, well, I asked them to keep the music on. And he's like, Mock, you're here. You didn't make your flight. And he's like, yes, I'm here. Would you like to have a bit of a dance? And then they have this quiet little weird dance with smoke. I don't know what's up with the smoke. I'm like, maybe it's supposed to be romantic, but I just keep seeing like eerie things, like, I don't know, zombies coming out of the mist. I'm going, it's not romantic to me, but you know, to each their own. So anyway, I still think the coolest dancing I ever saw was the one where Magnus is envisioning the dance that is really, really funny in Shadowhunters. I'm like, well, that was one good thing that came out of his coma because he had not taken the magic well. That was really funny. But moving on, I will drop a link in the description to that dance. So moving on, when they're done with the dance, Mock and Day are standing there and Mock says, and Day says, you know, so Mock says, Day says, I'm really glad you're here. And Mock is like, this is coming from the person who just broke my heart a second time a few hours ago. And Day's like, you know, I think we should give this a second chance. He said, I'm not giving this a second chance because of what happened between us. I'm giving this a second chance for me. And again, I don't mean it bad, but I'm like, God, Day is, I don't mean to cuss, but he is so darn selfish. I'm like, it's always about Day. I mean, yeah. But anyway, he's like, will you take a second chance with me? And he's, and Day's like, Mock's like, of course. So you find out then that Day has a new eye donation come. So they rush from the wedding venue to the hospital. Day gets his eye surgery done. Then you go 3 years in the future. Day is at a street. He helps a blind person across. You can tell that he's seen. And then we go back and we see how the surgery went well. Mock started working at a restaurant as a chef and creating menus for the restaurant there in Bangkok. Day and Mock are race doing like marathons together. They play badminton together. G and August seem to be a couple too, so they sometimes do doubles with them. I did like that scene because I'm like, you know, it shows that, again, I really hate what August did to Day. I mean, I don't like Day at all. I'm just going to clarify. I really don't like Day. That's one of the reasons that Last Twilight kind of is one of those meh feelings at the end. Because Mock is fabulous as a person. Day, he really didn't have the growth that I'd hoped to see have happened in this production. But again, some people don't have the growth, and it's realistic to show that sometimes. But I was glad to see that with August and Day, we got to see that even though August had made a terrible mistake with Day in the past, they were able to move past it. They were able to be friends and they were able to make it work. That rarely happens in real life, but I think it's so good to see examples of that when we can in film and in real life. Then we have them having dinner with Poomjai, Porgy, Knight. We find out 3 years later, they've been a couple for that long. So they had about, I'm going to go back in the timeline, but I think we have like about a year that Day or that Mock was a caretaker, give or take. We have probably about, I think in 3 to 6 months, they were a couple before everything busted up. And then we have about 3 years when they are separated. And then we have 3 years that are shown where they're a couple. So they've known each other by the end of the show for seven and a half years, I'm guessing. But at the end of the day, we also find out that poor Jai is pregnant with a second baby. So Poon Jai is about 6 years old when she will have a new sibling. And it looks to me like Knight and poor Jai, Poon Jai, and Knight's mom all live in the house together. I'm also guessing, although it's not mentioned, that Day is still leaving the house with his mom. And Mok might be too, but we don't know. I'm also guessing Mok still has his own house like he had before. But anyway, the other thing that I felt kind of sad about at the end of this movie was there's a scene when they're eating dinner where Day's mom says, Mok, you can call me mom too. This is like literally 3 years after Day and him have been dating. I'm going, why can we call her mom before then? Why do we have to wait 3 freaking years for her to basically give her approval? I'm going, you know, Mok doesn't need this kind of thing. But anyway, but I'm glad he can now call her mom. But still, I'm going, that was a long time coming. But moving on. So at the end of the show, we have Mok and Day. They go to put flowers at the grave of Mok's parents and Mok's sister, Rung. And Mok is sitting there. He's like, Mom, Dad, Rung, this is my boyfriend. You don't need to be worrying about me. He takes very good care of me. And then he turns to him and he goes, you know, life is a joy when we have people we can care about in it. And I'm going, you know, that kind of encapsulates why I like BL drama, because I was thinking about it recently. I was like, you know, in my own life and in just watching other people's lives, I'm like, the thing that I think brings the most joy out of life and out of relationships is having people to care for and being there to care for them. It's not really, I mean, passion is nice, of course. Those kinds of things are nice. But at the end of the day, the thing that I think that brings a lot of fulfillment in a quiet and sometimes understated way is the care that we show people. And I love that scene at the very end of the show. We then go to the very, very end of the show where we have Day and Mok have climbed the mountain that they were at before, where Day finally lost his vision. And they're looking out at the view, and Day is basically teasing Mok because they're basically saying, when did one person like the other person? He said, and Day is like, well, I know you liked me first because you kissed me up on that parking lot and told me that you liked me. And Mok is like, oh, and he said, you told me how you liked me in such a handsome way. And Mok is saying, they're going, oh, I'm handsome. Am I handsome? Oh, I'm going to have that. And he said, a handsome way. I didn't say you were handsome. And he said, I'll take what I can get. And then you have Mok teasing me, going, well, when did you know you liked me? And he's like, you know, it wasn't a single thing. It was like a compounding of how you gradually over time grew on me, because I didn't like you at all when we first started knowing each other, and you didn't like me at all. So it was a gradual thing. And so you kind of have them laughing and teasing one another. But at the end of the day, Day says, and I want to see this final image. And he kind of grabs Mok's face, and Mok grabs his hand. He's like, this isn't the last image you see, because I'm going to be here forever, Day. So you don't have to worry about your last image. And then they have a passionate moment. Now, the one thing I did like about this scene was you saw the couple teasing each other in a very healthy way. You also saw how at the end of the day, there's a brief moment where Mok says, you know, my life is so much different because I met you. And that is true, because I got to thinking at the end of the day, I wouldn't say that I'm very satisfied with the ending. And I think a lot of people aren't satisfied with the ending of this show, because they didn't have the personal growth that he really needed to be a good person and a good partner for Mok, and a good brother tonight, and a good uncle for Poon Jai, and a good, you know, person in general. But at the end of the day, Mach was happy with Day. Mach loved Day like crazy. And also, even though I will completely honestly say Mach could have definitely done better in a life partner, his life was still better than when he started out for having known Day. He had a much better stable career because he ended up working at Day's house and getting involved in cooking, which led him to become a chef, which led him to have a much better job than he could have had. He had a family again with poor Jai and Knight, and even Day's mom, who you really don't want to like at all, but by the end of the show, you're going, you know, she's not the greatest of people, but she does try to be there for people. It's just her way of trying to be there can be a little grating at times. But still, at the end of the day, he had a family, he had a person who he truly loved, and he also had a very stable career. And even though Day is far from perfect, like, perfection is here, Day is way down there. Okay, so Day is like not even close to perfect, but at the end of the day, not to put a pun on words, I think Day did try in some small ways to make Mach happy. Now, I still think that Day was mainly concerned with being selfish, with his own happiness, but still, I'm not saying it was a great match, but it could have been worse, I guess is what we can say at the end. I'm like, and that's how I feel. I'm like, well, Last Twilight, it could have been worse. However, I do want to say one other thing, though. If you were a little unsatisfied with Last Twilight, I highly, highly recommend, like I said in my previous video, please do go watch Vice Versa. I think you guys will be much more pleased with the end of that than with the end of Last Twilight, and even with the whole story in general, because it gives a more satisfying vibe than Last Twilight does. Again, I do think that Jimmy and C did a brilliant job in this production. They really couldn't have done better. So this is no like bashing of the actors, like I said in the beginning, and also Piaf did a very, very good job at this production. And the other thing I think we have to realize is in real life, oftentimes very, very good people end up with people who are really not their betters. And that is true. And I'm not saying like not their betters society-wise. I mean, not their betters when it comes to character, because I'm going, Mach is a truly amazing human being. He made some really bad mistakes, but he pulled a rabbit out of his hat and he did a 180. And that is kind of what counts. So I highly recommend that you check out Vice Versa, because I think you'll be much happier with the whole storyline than Last Twilight. If you're finding Last Twilight gives you kind of a meh feeling at the end, go check out Vice Versa. Now, some people don't like Vice Versa because they say that they don't get the whole universes thing, or that they're upset that there are not NC-17 scenes in there. Quite frankly, that's why Anna likes it. But, you know, if that's something that's not your thing, then, you know, skip Vice Versa. The other thing is there has been some talk that they might be doing another show with Jimmy and C. I don't know if they will. I don't know if I won't. I do think it's kind of nice to see these two actors together because they work really well together in real life. I think they're pretty good friends as well, which is one reason they're able to pull off such convincing roles. So I definitely check them out. To see what they're doing next for their productions. I don't know what Piaf is doing next, but I'm sure it will be fabulous too. Overall, I give this whole series probably for the acting and the storyline up until episode 10, absolute 10 out of 10. Episode 11, episode 12, were pretty much dive bombed to Anna, so I'm going to give them like a 6. So if we combine those scores, I don't know what that equals because I'm bad at math. But anyway, would I recommend watching the show? I'm going to probably rewatch it at some point, but this is not one of those that I feel like I really want to go and just, you know, like a lot of people have said this is their favorite BL drama now. I'm like, out of all the BL dramas in the world, this is your favorite? I mean, no offense at all. But I'm like, there are a lot of BL dramas that have way more satisfying endings than this one, with way nicer people that end up together. And this is your favorite now? I'm just saying, honest befuddled. One person, I don't know who the person was, I put in a comment like on the main channel when the last episode ended, they were like, I'm so glad to see a BL drama that has no violence, no sexual content, none of that. But I'm going, did you watch episode one? There was quite a bit of fighting in that episode. Up until like episode three, there's a lot of fighting. They break off beer bottles. They hit each other. I'm like, you know, if this isn't violence, I don't know what is. And I'm going, we did have episode 10, I think. It did have an NC-17 scene. And I'm like, this is not like, you know, entirely kid-friendly. I mean, I don't think there was anything wrong with showing either of those scenes, although I would have preferred not to have the beer bottle broken and people attacking each other with it. But I'm like, you know, that does happen in real life. The other does happen in real life. There's nothing wrong with the one. There is something wrong with breaking up the beer bottle. You know, this wasn't like Bunnies and Kittens Lady. I mean, no offense, but I'm like, I don't think she watched the whole series or she wouldn't have said that. But anyway, inner peace, itchy nose. So this is not one I'd recommend watching with little kids just because of the violence in the beginning episodes. And also the whole thing with poor Jai is pretty hard. So I wouldn't really watch that with small children. However, I do think this is a very good show to watch with teenagers. So like if you had a kid in junior high or high school, I would probably sit down and watch this show with them because I think it shows a very good example of imbalance in a relationship. Now, I might skip the NC-17 scene, depending on the age of the child, but the rest of it, I would definitely watch with them if they were anywhere from the age of 14 to 15 on up, because I think it brings up a lot of topics that would be good for discussion. It's like sometimes when I had kids over, I would just turn on a BL drama, if they were older kids, and we'd watch it, we'd talk about it. It was good, constructive discussion. And not because they're a BL drama and had nothing to do with the LGBTQI+ part of it, but because it brings up topics on how to deal with conflict, how to deal with relationships that go wrong, how to deal with life in general. And I think that's good to discuss with kids. Or with adults, too. I mean, you know, that's a good thing, too. So anyway, but that is my review of the final episode of Last Twilight. You can watch it on YouTube, on GMMTV official channel. Rick Orange, thank you. This whoever runs Rick Orange's channel has put them in chronological order in a playlist. I highly recommend checking that out. Check it at the round table. And also, I will drop a link in the description for Vice Versa, which is also available in the playlist on Rick Orange channels. Bye.